And now, let's turn to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local officials, residents, and personalities providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Well, once again, it's my great pleasure. Welcome, George Cullum, into the studio. Welcome, George.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's see. What should we talk about? How about the golf course?
Yeah, that's a great subject. It's a really exciting time this time of year.
Even each morning getting up, last few mornings in particular, it's been so glorious. I haven't been over to the golf course yet. I've ridden by on a bike. It looks pretty good. How would you compare this year's start? I know we had some snow in March and so on, to years previous.
This has been an early start for us. The course came through winter very well. When we actually opened on March 29th for some golf, you know, we opened 12 holes, and it was just walking only. We weren't allowing power carts or the driving range yet because it was still pretty wet. But, you know, people are really excited to get out and start swinging their new clubs and get out and enjoy some sunshine. Always a long winter, so it's exciting to get people out there. We did have a little bit of a setback. We had about a week of snow in April, and so that delayed things a little bit. But I would say, you know, this is definitely still ahead of our average opening by quite a bit. We've only opened four or five times in March over the years.
Oh, okay. Okay. So at the present time, if you're a golfer, you're listening to this, you're open, everything's working full speed, et cetera.
Yeah, we've actually got all 18 holes open with all the greens open, and driving range and power carts are running. So we're fully operational at this point. You know, the course is still greening up. It's still got some dormant areas. You know, fairways are still probably about 50% have returned at this point. So we're just kind of been waiting for the temperatures to come up. We just started overseeding some of the weak spots on some of the greens, but we're really happy with what we have starting the year, getting on all the greens as early as we have. Usually, it's kind of our goal to get on all of our greens by Memorial Weekend, and we beat that by a considerable amount this year. We were on all greens in April, so that's going great. And so, you know, as the temperatures come up, everything starts to green up a little bit more. Our irrigation system's fully functional, the earliest it's ever been.
Wow.
We didn't experience any issues with that earthquake that we had in November that we can tell so far. Yeah, we've had hardly any breakage. I think we've had one break near a sprinkler head, and that's some kind of a record in itself. So it's made it nice to get the year started.
So a golfer who has been coming there year after year, this year, what will they notice is different?
Well, the first thing they'll probably notice is that we're getting a new clubhouse deck.
Ah.
Yeah, so our deck was quite old, is probably as old as the clubhouse, which is probably close to 30 years old, and it needed to be replaced, and the city of Palmer has funded that, and so we're putting that on currently. It's almost finished. They're going to probably finish up all the way around to the front door at this point, and then they got to do a little work on the back steps of the clubhouse, but it's pretty dramatic. I mean, it's a very nice-looking deck.
So I was just curious, as you were talking about that, obviously, there's a lot of golfing that happens out at the golf course. Is it a venue that's used for other things, weddings or anything of that sort?
Occasionally, we will host a wedding. It's our issue there is it's just kind of we're a snack bar. We're not really a full restaurant, so it's hard to cater it. But occasionally, we'll have a big wedding come in, and they'll rent a big tent, and they'll put it out on our driving range. And then we can provide some of the tables and chairs and things like that. We typically don't cater those because they usually bring in an outside caterer.
Sure. Right. The venue. It's so beautiful.
It really is. And I mean, I've been kind of pushing to get a new clubhouse, you know, for years because I know that we're missing out on a lot of weddings, you know, because it's such a beautiful area.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the perfect venue for weddings and special functions. So maybe in the future we can get a new clubhouse and be able to take on those kinds of events.
Well, I know that each year you give reports to the city council about the operation of the golf course. And I know I've just been to the Alaska State Fair's annual meeting where I looked back at last year, and it was a very good year. As you look back at this previous year, how did the golf course do?
The golf course did pretty well last year. It was probably a little bit above average as far as financially, but the course is in great shape, and it just kind of builds on each year. It gets better and better. You know, and golf's starting to make a comeback. It had a little bit of a downturn with the economy back in 2008 when the economy slowed down, and things have started to ramp up again. It doesn't hurt that Tiger Woods is having success again, right?
I mean, that's got to be worth his weight in gold.
Yeah, when Tiger Woods is doing well, he really moves the needle in golf, and it's beyond just watching golf on TV. It's actually a business thing, right? He actually affects the business of golf. You get way more people paying attention, more people want to try it, so they start coming out and trying to hit range balls, take lessons, buying equipment. So it has quite an effect on the game.
Okay. So speaking about costs, money associated with it, how does the Palmer Golf Course fit in the South Central Area Golf Course pricing schedule?
Oh, we're the most affordable of all the 18-hole facilities.
Okay.
You know, I'm not going to break down everybody's fees, but I do know that, you know, we're considerably less expensive, especially with our season pass pricing. Because we are a municipal golf course, we're trying to be affordable for the community to use. You know, we don't want to price it to the point where you feel like you're going into a country club. It's a municipal facility, so we want lots of families and kids playing golf. And also we want to entice, you know, new golfers. So if they're getting sticker shock from the price, it's hard to grow the game of golf when you're too high of a price. So that's always been one of our goals, is to keep prices reasonable so people can enjoy the facility and you know, enjoy getting out in Palmer, being outside, being active. We have a lot of seniors here, as you know.
Right.
And so if we can keep those season passes at a reasonable price, they'll come play golf, and it's a great activity to get them out and keep everybody healthy. It is an outdoor activity, and they get exercise. You know, even if they're riding a cart, they still have to walk up and down some of the hills around the greens, all that stuff really helps. Plus, just the mental part of it, you know, getting out and, you know, having some, playing with your friends, you know, social aspect of it.
Okay. I like each time when you come in to ask a question about the evolution of golfing in terms of equipment. Over the years, there have been changes in golfing clothing. There's been changes, obviously, in clubs, balls, et cetera. What do you see happening in the near term here? What's going on right now?
Well, right now, some of the bigger companies like Callaway and TaylorMade have been experimenting with some of the face technology of the drivers. Years ago, they instituted a COR limit, which is coefficient of restitution, which means the springiness of the face.
Right.
So how much can a ball trampoline off the face of a club? And the USGA and the RNA, the governing bodies of golf, they put a limit on that. So now these companies are trying to figure out how to get around that a little bit. You know, they still have this COR limit, but like Callaway, for instance, came out with a kind of a variable face driver, you know, and what they did was they used a computer, they called it AI, but they used this computer program to run 15,000 simulations on how to create a wavy kind of the backside of the face of the driver, the inside.
Right.
They made it kind of a wavy face inside, and that allows off-center hits to go about as far as centered hits. And if you hit it off the toe or the heel of the club, the ball will kind of stay straight. It won't go sideways as much as it used to. And TaylorMade, they injected the face of their driver. They took it beyond the COR limit, and then they worked their way back towards the COR limit. They felt like that would give them a better springiness off the face also, and still stay within the USJ and the RNA rules. But those are probably some of the biggest things I've seen. There's also, Odyssey golf putters have come out with a partially graphite putter shaft.
Oh.
So the bottom part of it's steel and the upper part's graphite. They took 40% of the weight out of the shaft and moved it to the ends of the putter to make it more balanced, to help, you know, even the better players, to help them balance out their strokes. So it's something that's kind of new technology in that way. It's supposed to be really revolutionary. I felt the putters, they feel good. You know, mm-hmm. I think they do. There's a significant change there. But these golf companies are constantly pushing the envelope because they want to keep making improvements. They want to make the game easier to play for everybody in some respects. And so, you know, they want to make people be able to hit the ball farther and have more success. And then, of course, that helps them sell their equipment.
That brings up a question. I hadn't thought about this. There are regulations, so if you're in regulations play, I mean, if you're going to be in some form of competition, then your equipment needs to fit within the range that's allowed. Does that mean if there's a tournament that any equipment is inspected, or what happens?
It can be inspected. You know, if in golf, all the golfers are supposed to police themselves. So if you see somebody playing with a piece of equipment that you don't think is conforming, mm-hmm. then you would call that to the attention of the rules officials, and, you know, they could inspect that club. There is a list of equipment that is conforming, and there's a list that's non-conforming, and that goes from golf balls to golf clubs, right?
Huh, so okay.
There's limitations to the length of a driver. There's limitations to the length of any club in the bag. And then, there, of course, there's these limitations with COR off the face of the drivers. So some of these things are pretty obscure. And, you know, even the grips of the clubs have some rules. And the golf ball, of course, has some limitations. So, it's one of those things that golfers generally, you know, they police themselves, though. It's very rare that you'd find a golfer on the highest levels trying to get by with something that's off the conforming list. But it does happen occasionally. And sometimes they don't know. They're just playing a club that they don't know that it doesn't conform. And then they find out later that mm-hmm. there's something wrong with it.
So what about in a sort of normal play, or two people are playing, they're going to play 18 rounds, and they use non-conforming clubs? That would be just up to those two people who are playing.
Yeah, I mean, if you're just playing casual golf, I mean, the rules are a little bit more relaxed. You know, tournament golf's different than your casual round with your buddies, but it's all about what your buddies are going to put up with, right? If you've got some big advantage and they don't have it, they're going to call you on it generally, right? So if you're playing a golf ball that's smaller and goes farther, they're probably not going to put up with it very long. You know, they're going to call you out on it.
Unless you're both doing it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, and then there are people that play by different rules. You know, there's leagues that have more relaxed rules for golf. And that's fine, because for the average golfer or the beginner, sometimes that will help them stay interested. You know, if you really go by the rules of golf, you know, and play to the USGA rules or the PGA rules, it can take a little bit of fun out of the game. So there's rules on you're only supposed to have 14 clubs in your bag. But for the casual golfer, he might have 16 clubs in his bag because he carries an extra driver or something. So those things don't matter as much when you're just playing your casual rounds of golf.
That brings up the question of people who go through life. They started out very young playing golf and went through a long period of golf, and now they're older. What tends to be the changes in equipment that a more senior golfer would use as compared to someone that's at an earlier stage?
Well, I think, you know, the biggest things that you see are generally with the driver, the as people get older, they need to hit the ball up in the air a little bit easier. So they'll add loft to the driver face. They'll also go with lighter shafts and more flexible shafts. The lighter the shaft, obviously, the faster you can swing the golf club. And the more flexible, the higher the ball will go. So you got to look for things like that to help get the ball up in the air for the person that doesn't generate as much club head speed as they used to. So even for myself, I'm 56 now, and as I've aged, you know, I've started to go with a little lighter shaft and a little softer shaft to help me get the ball up in the air and hit it a little bit, you know, kind of get that distance that I won't have the distance I used to have, but I can still hit it reasonably well and play and enjoy golf. And then, of course, you got to look to what tees you're playing. You know, don't go to the back tees if you're not hitting the ball 280 yards or 300 yards. You know, that's something to be aware of, that you pick the right tee box to play for your skill level and in your age. And we, over at Palmer Golf Course, we have five sets of tees. We've got our blue tees for professionals or you know, advanced players. And then we have our white tees are for typically the average man. Mm-hmm. And then we have a gold tee for seniors, 60 and up. And then we have red tees for anybody that wants to play, you know, from the red tees. And sometimes, like in our men's club, the older seniors play from the red tees. So, and then we have a green tee for senior ladies or junior golfers or anybody, a beginner could play. You can play any set of tees you want because you can, you know, if you're posting handicap scores, generally it's rated for men or women from any tee box.
Okay. For those people maybe who are listening in and are just beginning to think about golf, how about a quick explanation of what a handicap is?
A handicap, if you bowl, it's kind of similar to, it's basically the same as bowling. So what a handicap does is it takes your scores, you enter your scores as you play 18 holes or 9 holes, and then it calculates what your score is compared to par on a golf course. So you'll get an index, and your index could be an 8.2 at your home course. So when you take that index and you go to a different golf course, you're visiting somewhere like in the lower 48 and playing golf, you can go and you can plug in that 8.2 into their calculations of their course handicap and figure out what that course handicap is for you, because every golf course is rated differently, right? They're,
sure.
They have a different they have a different course rating, which our golf course is a par 72. And from the white tees, I think it's rated at 71.2 or something, which means it's a little bit below for a professional golfer or a zero handicap. Mm-hmm. They would be expected that they might shoot a little bit lower. And then you have the slope of the golf course, which slope calculates sand traps and how wide your fairways are, how long your rough is, the speed of your greens, slopiness of greens, how hilly the golf course is, where the hazards are, you know, which are now called penalty areas by the new rules, out of bounds. All these things are calculated into how to figure out how difficult a golf course is. Right now they're playing in New York at Bethpage Black, which is one of the hardest courses in the country and probably in the world, for the PGA Championship. So that golf course, if I went to that golf course and I was a 5.1 index at my home course at Palmer, I'm a 5 handicap. But if I go there, it's so much more difficult. I might be a 10 handicap on that golf course. And that's significant. But the handicapping is really made so that you can have two players of different abilities have a match with each other. So if I'm a 5 handicap and you're a 12, and we want to play each other in a match, I'd have to give you strokes. I'd have to give you, you know, additional strokes on your, you know, or take strokes off your score at the end of the match to make it more fair, you know, and that's really what that's for.
Oh, okay. Okay. Very interesting. Very interesting. Okay.
Yeah, and it also helps you also keep track of how you're improving or maybe you're getting worse, but when you post your scores, you can see your trends of, am I getting better or am I getting worse? And what do I need to do? Maybe I need to work on my short game more, or maybe I need to take golf lessons, right? Maybe I'm just not making improvements and I need help.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
That's good, George. Mike Malefsky here at Big Cabbage Radio. I'm talking with George Collin. We've been talking about the Palmer Golf Course and features about golf in general. Let's get on to what's coming up in the near term and this summer in terms of events.
Well, we, like I said, we just hosted the U.S. Open qualifier on Monday, and we had golfers from Japan, Canada, Scotland. It wasn't a big field, but, you know, these are some of the top players in the state. We had a local guy, Derek O'Neill, who actually works on our maintenance crew at the golf course. He's a golf professional also, and he won in a 4-hole playoff. It was really exciting, and he gets to go on down to Washington. He chose a site in Walla Walla to go to the sectionals. And if he qualifies there, he goes actually to the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach this year.
Oh.
So we had Golf Magazine up. We had USGA officials up for the first time. And, you know, they were doing interviews and videoing and stuff. So eventually, probably within a week, if you go to the USGA website, you'll probably be able to see some of that, you know, coverage from Palmer Golf Course. And then as far as the Golf Magazine, I'm not sure when they're doing their articles, you know, but I would say in the near future that should be. Oh,
congratulations. Sounds like a coup.
Yeah, it was great. And then we got lots of events through the summer. We do host the state amateur this year, the Alaska State Amateur, which is a 4-day event. It's July 11th through the 14th.
Okay.
So if people are interested in that, they can go to the AGA golf.org and get signed up for that. And, you know, we host a lot of other events. Some of them are private company events. And
right.
Then we have our Palmer Invitational Pro-Am. It's the biggest pro-am in the state at the end of July. We have a club championship in August, you know, and we have a Hall of Fame tournament where we induct local people who are instrumental in golf out here or helping the golf course get started. And, you know, it's just it's a summer full of events for sure.
Very good. So remind people, when does the course open and when does it close on a day?
Well, right now our hours are, we're open at 8 and we close at 9, but we've been expanding our hours sort of on a weekly basis based on warmth and daylight. So our full hours, usually by the time we get to the end of the month of May, we go to full hours, which is 7 a.m. in the morning to 10 at night. That's clubhouse hours.
Okay.
So if a golfer wants to play beyond 10 o'clock, that's okay. They just can't have one of our power carts or any of our rental equipment. They have to have that back by 10. But if they have their own equipment, they can play, you know, midnight, 1 in the morning. They can, you know, there's a walkout gate so they can get out. But that's typically our hours.
Okay. Okay. Very good. And of course, as it gets lighter earlier and stays lighter later, more people, I'm guessing, either want an early morning round or have time after work, et cetera, to do something later.
Yeah, and we have daylight early enough that we could start at 7. It's just cold right now. It hasn't. Temperatures haven't come up enough. That morning temperature this morning was 38. So it's not like people are, you know, beating the door down to start at 7 in the morning right now. They're more apt to start after 9 at this point, you know. So we are open at 8. So we do have some early birds that like to get out ahead of everybody and play quickly.
One of my last questions has to do with the green. I mean, all of that grass, the fairways, et cetera, that you have. You do a lot of cutting. Do you have to do anything? I mean, you do obviously put water on them. You need water. Do you do anything else to have them grow?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's not that different than your lawn at home. You know, it needs fertilizer, you know, things like that. You know, you've got to deal with weeds. So we do it on a bigger scale. Obviously, we have a spray rig that we can go out and spray dandelions with. And as far as fertilizer, same types of things. We have liquid fertilizer that we use our spray rig. And we just fertilized greens earlier this week for the first time. So you drive the spray rig on it, and it's a, like I said, it's a liquid fertilizer, so it breaks down really fast. It's pretty fast acting, but it's not as potent as the pellet fertilizer that we use. And there's specific fertilizer for different parts of the golf course. There's what they call greens grade fertilizer. So it's specific to greens.
Right.
And then there's the general fertilizer that you would use pretty much like you'd use in your lawn for the fairways and tee boxes and roughs. And we usually fertilize once or twice a year on the main part of the course, and we do the greens monthly. You know, we'll do the liquid, and then we'll do pellet fertilizer, and then we'll go back and do liquid a couple more times, and then another application of pellet. So it really does help them, especially coming out of winter. It helps all the grass really get going.
So when you cut the grass, how do you catch what you cut, or do you just let it lay there?
We catch what we cut on the greens, because you don't want a lot of debris left behind on the greens. But the fairways and tee boxes and roughs, it just gets chopped up and it stays
there. That's a natural mulch.
Yeah, and it does. It helps in general. It helps the ground and stuff. So, yeah, unless the grass was really, really long and we cut it and left a bunch of debris, then we'd blow it into piles and pick it up, you know. But generally, it just stays there.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Well, George, I've asked a lot of questions. We're coming toward the end. You have a few minutes left. Is there anything you'd like to add for listeners about the golf course?
Well, we have what I would say is the premier golf shop in the state. We carry most of the newest equipment. We brought in Travis Matthew Clothing this year, which is a very trendy new clothing line for us. I mean, it's been around for a little while, but we're excited to have that, you know, for the younger golfers. And it's something that this year they came out with what they call their American size, which is for the general guy, you know, instead of the slim fit
for the
athletic, more athletic build. But we carry lots of ladies' equipment and clothing and shoes and golf bags. We have all that. And if I don't have it, I certainly can order it and get it here pretty quickly. And we do, we have golf professionals on staff that do club fitting. We've been doing a lot of that. We have a Callaway fit cart and a TaylorMade fit cart this year, which helps our golf professionals actually fit you properly for the right shaft and things like that. So I would encourage anybody that's interested in getting a set of clubs to certainly get fitted, because it's pretty expensive when you're getting top of the line clubs and you want to make sure they fit you properly.
Right.
You know, so that's important. And then, of course, taking golf lessons is, I think, super important. I mean, you can go out and buy the best equipment, but if you don't know how to use it, it's kind of a waste.
Well said. Okay. Well, thank you, George, for coming in today. I look forward to having another report down the road as the season progresses. And are you going to play any golf today? What are you going to do today as the man in charge?
Well, today I will. I know I'm giving a golf lesson in about an hour, and then there's a lot of equipment that is being ordered. I do pretty much all the equipment ordering and things like that, and then, you know, office work, and then I go out and check the course. I'll go out and talk to my superintendent JD and the other superintendent Dirk, and you know, find out what's going on out there. What do they need to make, you know, what they're doing, you know, make them successful. You know, I try to give them what I can as far as, you know, there's always some financial limitations
sure.
to what
right.
we can do.
Right.
But, you know, if they need something, I try to get it to them quickly. We had our slit seater go down, the one that we use to overseed greens. And so, you know, I had to drive into Anchorage Wednesday morning at 4 a.m. to go get it, borrow one from Anchorage Golf Course. They were nice enough to lend us theirs. So, you know, these are things that I kind of do. You know, I'm pretty available to the public most of the time. You know, I get a lot of questions about different things,
right.
You know, handicapping and all kinds of stuff, rules. So generally, it's just a busy day. You know,
I can believe that.
Yeah.
I can believe that. There are all these little things that make it work smoothly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you again, George, for coming in.
I appreciate you having me.
All right.
You've been listening to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local folks providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer, moderated by Mike Malevsky. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.